Samsung brings the heat each and every year with the Note series. I actually reviewed the Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus on All About Android. That review is up next.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands on Tech is brought to you by IT Pro TV. Visit go.itpro.tv/twit for an additional 30% off for the lifetime of your active subscription. Use code TWIT30 at checkout. So this is the Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus. There is a smaller size. For the first time, they have different sizes of the Note series. This is the larger of the two. The Note 10 Plus is $1,099.99. So you are paying a lot of money for this phone. And always, you know, as that price continues to creep up, the question is it worth the money? And we're going to kind of dive into that a little bit. So first of all, just kind of give you a quick walkthrough here. 6.8-inch dynamic AMOLED quad HD display. The Infinity O means the cutout at the very top for the camera, as you see there, which I actually prefer. If you're going to have some sort of a notch or a cutout, I like this the best. The teardrop is also very good because it's actually even less profile like you get on some of the older OnePlus phones. Like I think the one that you had prior to the 7 Pro, Ron, had the teardrop. And that looks nice too. But if you're going to do a cutout, this is the way I prefer it. Snapdragon 855, 12 gigs of RAM. So this is stocked with RAM power. 256 gigs of storage. It has the newer, faster UFS 3.0 storage. So file access is super fast. There is also a 512 gig memory or storage version available. Micro SD card slot up top, as you can see right there, sort of. It does have the active S Pen down at the bottom. This charges while it's in the phone. You can see I pulled it out and I got my little menu there so I could do like screen write and write on the screen and send it off if I wanted to. Nifty things like that, which I can talk about in a second. 4,300 milliamp hour battery in the phone, so it has a lot of battery juice. Fast charge up to 45 watts, which is faster than I've seen any phone charges at. However, the brick that's in the box supports up to 25 watts. So if you want the 45 watts, you have to find Samsung's charger that supports up to that. And that is an extra fee. I think it's like $40 if you seek that out. But that charges up your phone even faster than before. It's already pretty fast. But I think right now out of the box, you could charge this up from empty in about an hour, which is pretty awesome. 10 megapixel front facing camera, as you see up there. The triple rear camera has an ultra wide 16 megapixel, a standard 12 megapixel, and a telephoto at 12 megapixels. And then it has a time of flight sensor as well for kind of the stuff, you know, the bokeh shots and that sort of stuff. No headphone jack. This is the first Samsung phone without a headphone jack. So you do have the USB-C port in the bottom. It comes with USB-C AKG headphones in the box, but there is no adapter. So if you have a traditional headphone like Juan does, you're not going to have, and I do too, actually.
Yep.
You're not going to have the adapter in the box. So you're going to have to spring for that on your own. IP68 rated for dust and water, which is great. And let's see here. What else? There's a 5G version coming later this year for $1,299. If you want the smaller Note 10, it's $949. And this, by the way, this is kind of the splashy feature, the splashy look. This is the one that you've probably seen in every single review because it just stands out so well. It pops so well. This is the Aura Glow version of the Note 10 Pro. Just a really nice glass back with that kind of sharp, vibrant color feature. Really stands out. From a design perspective, I've been using this for now 2 weeks. So this is basically my review. Beautiful. It's glass front and back, so that makes it a little delicate. And you can go ahead and remove the word little from there. Aluminum frame on the sides. The power button has been shifted to the left side of the phone. Usually it appears on the right side, and then you get a Bixby button over on the left side. The Bixby button is now gone, but the power button kind of serves as a Bixby button. You can basically program what it does, what your phone does with a single tap versus a double tap or versus like a hold. And out of the box, I think the hold down to get the power menu isn't set. So I had to set that on my own. I think they want to believe that you will use that for Bixby instead, and I did not want to do that. For reasons. Let's just say I don't really get a whole lot of value out of Bixby personally. The display is gorgeous, no doubt about it. It does lack what we've been seeing in some top-of-the-line phones, like the OnePlus 7 Pro, the higher refresh rate. This is locked at 60 hertz. To me, doesn't bother me that much. You know, I'm not like totally locked into it. I have a feeling, though, the more phones we see with those higher refresh rates, the harder it's going to be for us to accept less, especially on a premium phone like the Note. It does have an in-display ultrasonic fingerprint sensor, which personally I find really annoying. It's just never as solid as I think it should be. And watch it work every time right now because I'm doing the demo. But in daily use, it's just not perfect. Right now, it's working just fine. But thankfully, you do have face identification here. And that actually worked really well for me. So it's a nice backup, nice fallback. Cameras. Victor, I sent a couple of shots or a photo album anyways. I would say the cameras are pretty good. Mostly, I got some really great detailed shots. If you find the picture that I took of my daughter's eye, that's like one of the ones that I'm. Oh, that's really cool too. Ah! So this is a cool like close up of a roly poly on my daughter's arm, and just seeing the detail of that, like the hair, the nice blurring in the background. You see all the detail in the bugs. Certain up close shots, I was really happy with. So I was camping this weekend and we, you know, were with like five other families. So each of us took a meal and everything. And it was really cool to take pictures of the food because everybody really brought their game when it came to cooking. And this had the Note 10 has a feature that I think is on, you know, some of the other Samsungs as well. It has kind of AI integrated recognition of what you're taking, and then it changes the mode based on it. So it has like a food mode where it blurs out everything except for the center, which is really sharp, and it just makes food look really delicious. So, you know, things like that are really great. Like if you go back to the shot before, walking in the forest, I took this picture because it was a stunning place where that we were walking through. And then when I looked at it and really zoomed in on it, it just looked really crispy and detail was like lacking. And I was really disappointed. I thought this picture was going to look really great. And it's just kind of smeary. It's almost like all of that detail just was too confusing for the camera. So other places where it really fell flat, night mode, not nearly up to pixel quality. It's really hard to compare to, you know, the Pixel as far as night mode is concerned. There's more food shots. See, the food shots turned out really great. Like, oh, that looks so delicious. Like the trees, the apple tree, like that looks okay. I feel like there could be more detail in there, though. And yeah, I don't know. It just kind of gets a little smeary.
It almost likes in those busy shots. It's not really quite sure what you're focusing on is what you meant to focus on, and it's making exposure choices on a really wide matrix scene that aren't really what you want the camera to do.
Yeah, very well could be. Okay, so this is like a night shot, and I would say this is one of the better night shots that I got, and it's not bad. It's just when you kind of zoom in on some of the night shots on the Note 10 Plus, things just get really grainy, and the grain in there is something that I'm not as used to seeing on the Pixel night shots. The night shots on the Pixel just, man, they just work, you know, and they look solid.
They spoiled you from night totally shots
do.
Now.
Absolutely do. AR Doodle is kind of cool.
I was about to say, what is that fairy that you found at night?
So here's the shot of my daughter's eye, and it's kind of a close-up. And if you zoom in on that, like, you get detail in this one. This one I was like,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. This one, nice. I was like, that turned out really awesome.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's totally.
Look
I was
at
pretty
that.
Happy with that. So we can. So I think overall, my review of the camera is you can get really great shots out of the camera. No doubt about it. But then there are other ways where it's just kind of like, okay, this is a demonstration of the live video effects, the bokeh in the background. And so it's software doing this. With the front-facing camera, you can see it kind of sharpened, and now it's going to blur out in the back. It looks okay. If you really got in there and scrutinized everything except for the weird looks on my face, you'd see the kind of some edges, you know, that don't quite catch around the edge of my face and my head versus the background, stuff like that. But But overall, pretty cool. There's also that zoom in microphone feature for when you're video recording. see?
These are great.
So I'm happy I could entertain you, Ron. Anyways, there's a whole bunch in there.
I would like a private Instagram feed where it's just you testing phones, and the videos that go along with that would be great.
I've been working on my selfie videos, apparently. anyway, so the camera is about what you've seen here. Some of the effects are really neat and worth playing around with. It's a great picture camera, but not as good as the Pixel. And I think that's where it ends there. The S Pen, of course. Oh, AR doodles.
Aww.
Yeah, kind of neat that you can do that.
That's pretty cool. If that was an app,
so
I'd
much
bring
consternation.
It to the
Yeah, so yeah. I drew that on my face with the S Pen, and then it like locks it to your face and follows your rotation and all that kind of stuff. So sorry, I had a lot of fun with AR doodles. Apparently, it actually kind of reminds me of Tilt Brush to a certain degree.
Yes, it's
very Tilt Brush like. So very neat. Okay, I'm going to move on because there's a lot of. Oh, sorry, Ron. What were you going to say?
I was just saying, so cool. That's very cool.
Awesome. So the S Pen. So obviously this is the Note signature feature. I would say this is the main reason that you get the Note, right? People who love their stylus, love their S Pen, this is the phone that you get. And you just don't find very many phones that have a stylus with the power and capability of the S Pen. It's better than it's ever been. It's now an active S Pen. So if I go to, let's see here. No, go.
Wow, that menu has increased like twofold.
Yes.
Yep.
So Air Actions is one of the things that they tout, right? So if I if I hit the button one time, it takes a picture, right? If I double tap it, it switches to the rear camera. So that's neat. If I do a swipe, it changes modes, or it should anyways. There we go. Change to video. Change back to photo. And then what is it? It's the circle. Does that zoom setting? Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, no. It's here we go. Well, circle should be zoom. And apparently it's just switching cameras. So, oh, there we go. That was okay. Anyways, it's not perfect. Neat. It's like one of those features that like demos well. And it's nice to have it. Again, it's probably going to apply to a certain group, right? Like creators are going to like that because they're going to put their phone down and then walk away from it and want to do these things. Not everybody is going to find utility for that. But it's neat that you can, and the S Pen enables that. So the S Pen, obviously, it's always kind of a home run feature for the Note, and that's no different here. Performance is as good as you expect because the Note is just crazy. Like it's stocked with memory, stocked with storage. So everything flies, games, multitasking, browsing. Technically things like 3D scanning too, I couldn't get that to work as well. And we're going to talk about that later in the arena. But no doubt about it, this phone can do a lot of things that other phones would have a hard time doing. This episode of Hands on Tech is brought to you by IT Pro TV, experienced IT professionals who deliver comprehensive training at the click of your mouse. IT Pro TV is CompTIA's official video training partner. You can check out their standard and premium memberships today, and you'll save 30% when you visit go.itpro.tv/twit and use code TWIT30. That's go.itpro.tv/twit and use code TWIT30 for an additional 30% off for the lifetime of your active subscription. IT Pro TV, build or expand your IT career and enjoy the journey. Dex for Mac, this is where you can plug the phone into, I plugged it into my Mac and actually ran a desktop environment on my Mac and worked in that environment, and it actually works really well. A little laggy. I'm toying with possibly using it for like a week exclusively, and then.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, I know. Why do I do this to myself?
It's your job.
Yeah, that's right. I do it because this is what I do for a living. And finally, updates. You should know Samsung's history in updates is that they take a while to get them. So even though Android 10 just released, the Note 10 Plus that I have here is running Android Pie, the previous version. And I'm guessing it's probably not going to get updated to 10 until the springtime based on previous history, which is at this point like 4, 5, 6 months away, possibly, on their most flagship phone that literally just released. So that's kind of a, you know, I mean, I guess I can't judge them too harshly on something that hasn't happened yet, but that's definitely something to consider. So, so that's kind of my thoughts on this. I think it's, you know, it's the next note. And I think where we're at with phones right now is that it's really hard to stand out. The S Pen makes the Note series something that can stand out on its own as a differentiating feature from other phones. But as far as notes are concerned, if you have the Note 9, if you have the Note 8, this is not a rush out and upgrade. Don't think about it one moment, just get it sort of upgrade. It's another Note, and it's really great, just like the other Notes were really great. And I don't know, there's not a whole lot to it beyond that, personally. What do you guys think? I mean, have you had any time with this one, or what do you guys think?
Yeah, very, very limited. I mean, I've been trading phones with some of my friends out here, and like, so I've spent about 2 days with a Note and not really enough time to form like review opinions on it. Yeah. And like what you're saying, I think we've all sort of fell into something of a holding pattern from the end of 2017 to now, where a Note 8 to this Note 10 might not even be that, you know, exciting upgrade for, yeah, for a Note user. Just, we've been doing a lot of really little iterative types of updates. And there are a lot of really exciting things. And the Note is going to be a beastly powerful, one of the top performing phones of the year. But it still feels a lot like the same kind of phone experience that we've been using for a while.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. So it's not a bad phone. I'm not saying that at all. It's actually a really great phone, but there's a lot of really great phones out there. So if you want the S Pen, if you want the stylus, I'd say the Note 10 Plus is a great way to go. If you're already upgrading, heck yeah, get the Note 10 Plus. But if you're thinking, well, should I dump this, you know, relatively new phone that I just got a year ago for this? It's not that much of an improvement that you have to drop what you already have. You can wait. And you'll be fine with
it. It's really tough, too, because, I mean, Jason, how do you feel that compares when we're talking about some pretty significant price jumps, too? Like, if someone were shopping a phone and they wanted to try and future-proof with, like, with the 5G variant, how does that compare? Would you say that this is the year that you might want to try and do that, knowing that it might take a while for 5G to make it to certain markets?
Oh man, that's a really great question, because I feel like so much about 5G right now is entirely speculative. Like, we don't even know how well it's really going to work on a day-to-day basis. We don't even, like, personally, I don't even know that I have a problem to solve that 5G solves. Like, I feel like my internet is pretty darn fast while I'm out there. So you're paying more, you're having a more challenging, you know, experience connecting to those 5G towers and getting that data. Sure, more is better, but I just don't know if right now it's kind of proven itself to be essential. I would not spend the extra money on a 5G version if I didn't work in this industry and have to review it, which I probably will at some point, you know, so that's great. Right. Now I will enjoy that experience, but for the everyday user, I don't know if it's necessary. Not right now. Yeah, maybe a year from now.
Our use being very atypical,
yes,
from what we recommend to our family and friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I would not suggest to my parents, oh, well, 5G's right around the corner, you got to get a 5G phone. I just don't feel that way. Like, not yet. Someday that'll be the case, I'm sure. But I don't feel like now is the case.
At some point, I think it's just going to be that we don't have an option.
Yeah, right.
You know, like by the end of 2021, it'll just be, you just buy the next phone that you're going to buy. Yep. And it won't be a decision-making process. I've just been totally really curious because, you know, we started this early with Motorola and a Moto Mod having the potential to upgrade your phone to 5G. And I'm starting to play on some 5G towers here in Southern California. And I'm still waiting to see what is the tipping point where any of this makes sense. And it's been a very difficult conversation to have with some of my friends who are tech interested. But this buzz isn't really paying off locally in any way that they can take advantage of it.
Yeah,
I haven't heard anybody excited for this is another topic. I'm sorry, I don't want to get distracted. But the 5G wave is not starting off on a good foot.
No, and it's not excitement. It's like it's the I don't know what word I want to use here, but it's like the pressure of, is this something I'm going to have to pay attention to? Is this something that I'm going to want on my phone? Yeah. It's the obligation.
Obligation. You know? Yeah, I think you're right.
The mandatory purchase so that they're not left behind, you know, that FOMO idea. And even then, to people who would normally, I would say, like, hey, you want to be on the bleeding edge. This is something you should be interested in. I'm not finding where I can make that push for them just yet. And it probably won't be until the end of next year that I'm thinking like, okay, now you folks who like spending a lot of money on fancy gadgets to be, you know, better than your other friends around you. Maybe now you could pull the trigger on something like that.
Yeah, totally.
Keep up with all the hottest tech news and gadgets. Visit twit.tv. There you'll be able to find and subscribe to all our tech shows. Thanks for watching Hands on Tech.